I'm going to speak to you today from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. If you'd like to get your Bible and follow as I read a couple of verses of Scripture from Hebrews 12. Now, the title of the message is The Look That Saves. The Look That Saves. Now, our text will be taken from Hebrews 12, but in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, the apostle takes us through what one old preacher called God's Hall of Faith. Not the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith. Takes us through God's Hall of Faith, all the way through the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And the apostle calls our attention to the great believers of the Old Testament days, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Joseph, Jacob, all of these great men of faith. And he declares this about all of them. He says, these all died in faith. All of these men and women that I've named, they died in faith. Now, this is the word which describes their entire lives, faith. They believed God. That's what distinguishes these people from other people. Faith. They believed God. They lived on earth like other men, but they lived by faith. They walked with God. The thing, the word that gave them a good hope of eternal life is faith. They believed God. The word that reveals the difference between them and other people, they believed God. The word that sums up their entire lives, they believed God. Faith. Faith. And they not only lived as other men lived, but they died as other men died. But the thing that made their death different was faith. These all died in faith. And they're examples to you and me. They're examples we're to study. You know, somebody said one time, don't follow a man. Well, I'll tell you this. You can follow a man who's following the Lord. I think Paul said something about that. You follow me as I follow Christ. And these men are examples to us, examples of faith. Now, when you go into chapter 12, the Apostle Paul begins with these words, and I believe Paul is the writer of Hebrews. He begins with these words. Now, wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he's talking about these people. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Jacob, Moses. He's talking about these people. Wherefore, seeing that we, you and I, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, you say, you mean they're watching us? No, they're not watching us. They're in the presence of the Lord. They wouldn't watch us if they're in the presence of the Lord. You mean they're interested in what's going on down here? Well, they're not interested in what's going on down here in that they're watching us and observing us. But here's what he's saying. They're witnesses to us. This great cloud of witnesses, they're witnesses to us. You know, Christ said to his disciples, you will be my witnesses. They're witnesses of the sufferings of Christ. They're witnesses of the gospel. They're those who declare the gospel. And these men and these women are witnesses to us of the faithfulness of our Lord. They're witnesses to us of the riches of His grace and His promises. And we are encircled, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, men and women who walk upon the same earth upon which we walk, who encounter the same difficulties and tests and trials and troubles and sorrow and suffering and all of these things. But these people lived by faith. They believed God, and they died in faith, and they died with a good hope. And that which distinguished them from all other people about them was the fact they believed God. Believed God. Now, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, in our lives, in our walk, in our citizenship and conversation, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight or every hindrance to our running the race of faith and living the life of faith and following the example of these men and women. Let us, anything that hinders us or obstructs our running a good race, the race of faith and the life of faith, let's lay it aside. Now, the apostle here is referring to an athletic event, to an actual race. Paul does that frequently in his writings. He'll talk about some athletic event, such as a race or a person who runs to gain a prize, a runner. But when people are running a race, they don't wear heavy clothing. They don't carry a sack of equipment. They take off everything that would hinder them from running a good race. Every weight is put aside. And they don't look around at the stands and the people watch them and look back at the people running with them. They're dedicated to one thing, and that's running a good race. And this is what he's telling us. These examples that have gone before us, these men and women that have lived here on this earth and walked with God and believed God and lived and died in faith, let's follow their example. And anything that hinders you from walking with Christ and living for the glory of God, lay it aside. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it be a person or a job or an association or a partnership or anything that hinders you or holds you back or keeps you from living for Christ like you ought to. Lay it aside. It's a weight. You're carrying a heavy weight. You're carrying something that keeps you from being what you ought to be and doing what you ought to do for the glory of God. Lay away aside those weights. Now watch the next line. And let us lay aside that sin, which does so easily beset us. What is that sin? Well, a lot of people say it's different things, but I believe it's a sin of unbelief. I believe the very foundation of all sin is not believing God, not trusting Christ, not looking to God to supply every need. It's a sin of unbelief. You'll find that unbelief is the very foundation of every sin. You just do not believe God. And we need to say with the centurion of old, Lord, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me to lay aside this sin which doth so easily beset us. Now look at the next line. Looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus. That's the look that saves. That's the sight that saves. Looking unto Jesus. It's the same as the command of Moses in the wilderness when he had lifted up the brazen serpent. Here were the people bitten, smitten, dying. Moses lifted up that brazen serpent and he gave one command. Look. Look and live. It's not do and live, it's look and live. It's not give and live, it's look and live. It's not pray and live, it's look and live. It's not work and live, it's look and live. That's the look that saves. It's looking to Christ, looking unto Jesus. Let's lay aside all the weight and hindrances and barriers and that sin of unbelief, and let's turn our eyes on Christ and run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, keeping our eyes on Him, only Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Believe Him. That's what it said about Abraham. He believed God. He believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. He just looked and believed God. Now you can read a dozen books on faith, and there's no end to the writing of books on faith. There's so many of them out there. You can read dozens of books on faith. You can listen to 100 sermons on faith. And you can study all the definitions of faith. But it'll all come down to one thing. And that's given right here. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what John the Baptist said to his disciples, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's what our Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5. He said, "He that seeth the Son and believeth on Him hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He's looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. Now, when we are enabled of God to look to Christ, when we are enabled of God to take our eyes off everything else and everyone else and look only to Christ, when we're able to do that, then we see and we have some sort of understanding of the redemptive will and the glory of God. It's to be seen nowhere else. It's only the glory of God is only seen in Christ. The redemptive will of God is only seen in Jesus Christ. The redemptive glory of God is only seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4. He said, "God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God, of the will of God, in the face of Christ Jesus." Look into Jesus. Look at Him. That's where it all is. We know, John wrote in 1 John 5, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and that we're in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God. This is eternal life. Looking to Christ and Christ alone. Looking to Him. You want to talk about Abraham? He looked to Christ. Abraham saw my day. You want to talk about Moses? He looked to Christ. You want to talk about Abel? Abel offered a blood sacrifice. Looking to Calvary. Looking to the blood of the Lamb. David talked about the Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou on my right hand." These men all died in faith. Looking to Christ, looking for the coming of Christ, looking for the fulfillment of all these promises in Christ, looking for the fulfillment of the prophecies in Christ. And we are circled about and encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let's put aside all the tradition and religion and legalism and formalism and all ceremonialism and all these things. Lay aside these weights, these things, these people, that everything that hinders us from walking with Christ, and the sin that does so easily beset us, unbelief. Can you believe? Can you believe? Can you see Him? Can you believe on Him? This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. This life's in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God, whatever he has, whatever he knows, whatever he does, hath not life. He's looking to Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. The author is the one that starts something. The author is the one that conceives a purpose or plan or whatever. The author is the originator. The author is the one who purposes it. And the finisher is the one who winds it up, completes it. So it says we look to Christ. We look to Jesus. He's the author, the originator, the creator of faith, and of that which faith brings. And He's the finish of our faith. He's the Alpha and Omega. That's Alpha is the first word in the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last word. He's the Alpha and Omega. It's all in Christ. And He hath given us that understanding. Looking to Christ. Now note these things. I want to show you something here that's very important. Looking to Christ. Look, let's run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, first of all, when we look to Christ, we see God. We see God. That's right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is God, God incarnate, God manifested. This is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The disciples said, "Well, show us the Father." He said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." So you look to Christ, you're looking to God. You're looking to God. Secondly, if you look to Christ, you see in Him the covenant of grace, the everlasting covenant. Now, my friends, anybody who knows anything about the Scriptures know that God is a covenant God, that the word covenant occurs in the Bible over 300 times. He made a covenant with Adam. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with David. He made a covenant with Moses, this covenant. And the Bible talks about an everlasting covenant, from everlasting to everlasting, a covenant of mercy, a covenant of grace, a covenant of which all the other covenants are but types. And this is an everlasting covenant, and Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of that everlasting covenant. And if you can look to Christ, you can enter into the riches and mysteries and treasures of that everlasting covenant that David talked about as he lay dying. God made with me a covenant ordered in all things and sure, and this is my salvation and all my desire. And looking to Christ, we see the first promise and all the promises of the Old Testament fulfilled in Christ. What's the first promise? Genesis 3:15, God came down after the fall. God said to Satan, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. The woman's seed shall crush your power, crush your head, and crush your authority. Who is the woman's seed? Well, when Cain was born, Eve rejoiced. She said, I've gotten that seed, that man. I've gotten the man. No, that was Adam's seed. Adam begat Cain. Eve gave him birth, but Adam begat him. But one day in Bethlehem, in a little town 2,000 years ago, there was a child born. There was a son given. And that's the woman's seed. Man didn't have anything to do with that. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin by the Holy Ghost. And there's that promised seed. Look into Christ. You see that first promise fulfilled, the seed of woman. And you come on down through that Old Testament, and every promise, God said, I'll send a prophet. God said, I'll send a king like David. God said, I'll send a priest like Melchizedek. God Almighty said, I'll send a rock, smitten rock, a brazen serpent, a priest, a mercy seat, an atonement. It's all fulfilled. Look into Christ. You look to Him, you see all these promises, types, patterns, and pictures fulfilled. And then when you look to Christ, you see what these Old Testament believers saw by faith. They saw the same thing you see. Abraham saw my day. He saw my day. You know what? I believe when Abraham saw the day of Christ was when Abraham was on that Mount Moriah with Isaac, and he was about to slay his son, and God said, touch not the lad. And he looked over there in the bush, and there was a ram. And God said, put the ram on the altar in the place of, in the stead of, your son. The ram was a substitute for Isaac. And Abraham saw, because he told Isaac, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide Himself a lamb. Himself, He is the lamb. And Himself, the lamb, was provided for His justice and righteousness. He provided it. Job saw the Lord. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He'll stand on this earth. And those after my skin, worms destroy this body. I'm going to see the Lord. Looking to Christ in the flesh, when we look to Christ, walking this earth in human flesh, we see the law of God honored. Here's a man born of a woman, made under the law, who walked this earth perfectly. He knew no sin. He had no sin. He thought no sin. He did no sin. The Heavenly Father spoke from heaven and said, I'm well pleased. Here's a perfect man. There's never lived one on this earth. Never lived but this one. And that's Christ Jesus. And in so doing, He fulfilled the law. If you look to Christ, you see the law fulfilled. You see it honored. He honored God's law. He fulfilled God's law. He satisfied God's law on behalf of His people. You look to Christ, you see that. Nowhere else. If you look to Christ on the cross, you see the justice of God honored. and fulfilled. Yeah, on the cross, if you look to Christ, you see the very character of God. You see His love. For God so loved, He gave His Son. You see His holiness. Christ bore our sins in His body on the tree, and the Father turned His back on Him. That's the holiness of God. You see the justice of God. He punished Christ, though He had no sin of His own, but He had our sins, and God would not let Him go. The justice of God took hold of Him and exacted from Him the due penalty of all our sins. You see the wisdom of God? You see how that God can be just and justify us. That's wisdom. I'd have never thought of that. You wouldn't have either. God purposed that great plan of redemption. He loved sinners in Christ. He chose them in Christ. He gave them to Christ. He sent Christ down here to fulfill everything He required of those sinners because Christ was the only one who could do it. You say, well, how could one man suffer for so many? Because of who he is. How could His blood atone for so many sins? Because of whose blood it is. It's Christ that died. You see how God can be just and justifier. If you look to Christ, you look at Him lying in the tomb and then rising from the grave, and you see how we can rise. In Him, He said, because I live, you live. If one man can go to the grave and come out, two can, and three can, or four, or five. It doesn't matter how many you name after that. If one can do it, they all can do it. If one of us can rise from the grave, we all can. Especially if it's that one God sent. That's right. He said, because I live, you shall live. Look into Christ rising from the tomb. You see your own resurrection if you can look to Him. Look into Christ as He ascends to heaven. If He can ascend, I can too. He's a man. The man, Christ Jesus. That's right. The Scripture says there's one God, there's one mediator between God and men. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. And if a man can die and live, another man can. If a man can go in a grave and come out, another man can. If a man can arise to heaven, ascend to the throne of God, and stand in His presence, accepted, and be seated at God's right hand, another man can. And another one. And another one. And another one. See, that's what you've got to figure out here. And that's what preachers, they're not thinking. And they don't want people to think. They're just whoop-de-dooing and waving their hands and carrying on a program and marching all in sequence and in line, and nobody's thinking. God's holy. We're sinners. And if you can find out how any one man, who can ascend into the hill of the Lord, who can stand in His holy place, he that hath pure heart, clean hands, who's never lifted his soul to vanity. And there's not a man listening to my voice or a woman qualified. But there's one. And if there's one, there can be two. And that one is the Son of God, our representative, our substitute. And He came down here. He represented us. We got to look to Him. We got to look to the one who did it. We've got to look to the one who has the power to save. You see what I'm saying? And if you can look to Christ at the right hand of God, then we can be seated in Him. In Him. That's what Paul said in Romans 8. Who can condemn me? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for me. Now, I'll tell you something else too. If you can look to Christ, He's returning. He's coming back. And He said, you let not your heart be troubled. We got heart trouble. That's our big trouble, is heart trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. You do believe in God. Yes, you do. Well, who is God? He's the holy, almighty, sovereign, righteous, just God who will not clear the guilty. You believe God? Well, believe in me. Christ said, believe in me. Look to me. Trust me. Put all your eggs in one basket. Christ, you look to me. You believe in me. Because in my Father's house, in his house are many dwelling places. Now, if it weren't so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place. You know how he went? He went to that cross outside the city of Jerusalem. That's where he went to prepare the place. He prepared the place for you and you for the place right there on that cross. Shed his blood, died for your sins. He went to the grave where you got to go someday. And he defeated sin on the cross and death in the grave and came out. And then he went to the right hand of God and sat down as your mediator. And he said, now, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I'm going to come back and receive you. Now, I'm telling you, the look that saves, if you want to live, you better look to him. You look to him. You look for him. You're waiting for him to come back. Now, don't look to your faith. We don't come to faith. We come to Christ by faith. Somebody said, well, I came to faith in Christ. No, that's not it. I came to Christ in faith. Don't look to your works. Don't look to the name you wear. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Don't look to your brethren. Don't look to your experience. Look to Christ. Can you? Looking to Jesus. Oh, we're encircled, encompassed about with a cloud of folks that already look to him. And if you're going to join them, you're going to look to him too. Because he's the author, originator, planner, creator, accomplisher, and finisher of our faith. Keep looking. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. That's the look that saves. All right, if you want this tape, you write to us, and here's the address. Send $2. That's what it costs us to get them ready and send them to you. We'll mail it right out to you. Till next week, I pray the Lord will bless you and enable you to look to Jesus. Thank you.